Good evening and welcome along to The Score, our midweek sports show here on Highland, where we take a look at the big sporting stories happening across the Northwest. I am Mark Gallagher and we have a lot to get through between now and 8 o'clock, so let's get straight into it. What's coming up on tonight's show? Well, the National Football League is back this weekend. We'll be getting the Mayo perspective on the Division 1 game against Donegal and Letterkenny this coming Sunday. In soccer, we'll be hearing from the Bonagie United camp as the club hosted an official launch ahead of the upcoming National League third tier. And it is soccer. We begin with the new SSE Airtricity League First Division season gets underway tomorrow night. Finn Harps start their campaign with a trip to the Midlands to face Athlone Town, who actually finished rock bottom of the division in 2025. Kevin McHugh's side have made several signings in the off-season and, just as importantly, have held on to their most exciting young talents. Gavin McAteer, Josh Cullen and Corey Sheridan all represented Ireland at the FIFA Under-17 World Cup in Qatar back in November and are all still Finn Harps players as the new season has rolled around. The Premier Division kicked off last week with Derry City and Drogheda United the only teams to pick up all 3 points in their opening day fixtures. The Candy Stripes scored twice late on to beat Sligo Rovers at home and are back at the Ryan McBride Brandywell tomorrow night against last year's First Division champions Dundalk. So to talk all things League of Ireland, we can now welcome on former Finn Harps captain and current Cockhill Celtic boss Gavin Cullen. Gavin, thanks very much for joining us on The Score this evening.
No bar, good evening. How's things?
Not too bad. So we're back at it for another year. As I said, Derry got off to a winning start last week, but maybe we'll focus on Finn Harps first of all. A trip to Athlone Town tomorrow night. Obviously, hard to gauge where things are at, but it's going to be interesting to see how Harps get on in their first game.
Oh, absolutely. I suppose this time of the year, you know, there's always a bit of excitement building. A new season, new players, seeing what other teams are like, you know, and Harps will obviously... You know, they'll be looking forward to it and looking forward to hopefully getting a positive start tomorrow night.
Athlone won't be happy with where they ended up last year and they'll obviously be looking to start strong as well. It is potentially a tricky enough start on the road.
It is, yeah. Look, the First Division, as we all know, there's no easy games. Athlone obviously last season finished bottom and they're probably... There was a lot of turmoil within the club, seems to have settled, and new ownership and stuff like that. And I've seen they've brought on a few experienced players like Brendan Clark and stuff that probably will add a bit of stability to their squad as well. So, again, totally unknown as of Harps. You know, Harps have retained 14 or 15 players from last season, but they've also signed 6 or 7 guys that are new to the league and stuff like that. So, depending on what Kevin goes with, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what both teams line out like tomorrow night.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what team Kevin McHugh goes for tomorrow night. As you say, there's a lot of new faces in the squad. Do you see maybe a few of the new faces coming in and like maybe blending them together with the team, or do you see 5 or 6 of the new faces in the starting lineup tomorrow?
I don't know. They seem to have a decent enough pre-season. They played decent high level opposition, and by all accounts, Kevin seems happy with what they've done. So I would expect a good few of them new signings to come in. Now, by all accounts, there's a few of them fairly decent, although early stages, and they look fairly big and physical and strong. As you know, the First Division, the League of Ireland, you need to be all of that and more. Maybe at the second half of last season, Harps lacked a wee bit of that physicality. So the likes of them guys, the likes of obviously Connor Turish and Tony McNamee are going to be pivotal to keeping them fit and the team, obviously Max Hutchinson and guys they got there. And then obviously with the keen eye and young lads, the local boys like Dara Coyle and Sean O'Bradley, see how they get on, and obviously the boys that were at the Under 17 World Cup. You know, you want to see them pushing on, no, doing well, Gavin McAteer, Josh Cullen and Corey Sheridan. You know, you would like to see them even getting a lot more minutes this season, you know?
Yeah, the new signings are one thing, but surely that's a big boost for the club to have kept Corey, Josh and Gavin. You know, there were rumours floating around the World Cup, especially around Gavin, that there might be clubs interested. It's a massive boost to have kept all three.
Oh, it is, yeah, but I suppose maybe it's only a matter of time. I don't know, but I know there's still clubs, and I would say come the summertime, the guys finish school and stuff, you know, you could see a couple of them making moves, and like hopefully it goes well for them. But at this stage, I'd say they're just concentrating on starting the season and probably getting into the team. And then what the summer brings, no, I suppose nobody knows for them, but them guys have loads of opportunities in front of them, so they do.
Broader picture with the signings and holding on to the young players, taking a generally positive end of last year, progress in the new stadium, etc. What kind of season do you think could be in the cards for Fin Harps? What would be success?
Hard to call. It's like this last three or four seasons, I suppose, have all been similar. We would have hope, we would have expectation, and then obviously disappointment in the overall season. Not getting near or pushing the playoff spots is majorly disappointing for a club like Fin Harps. It obviously shows where they're at the minute. For me, a positive season would be progress, would be, you know, some of them young players getting themselves in the starting 11 week in, week out, and absolutely most definitely getting in the playoff spots by the end of the season or thereabouts. I think pushing for league titles and stuff like that with the likes of Cork City in the league is probably, you know, I think realistically we all know that's probably out of reach. But yeah, and again, football, you never know. But I think playoff spots have to be a minimum requirement, have to be a realistic goal for any season for Fin Harps in the First Division, you know.
Yeah, we'll have updates from that Harps game in Athlone with Kevin Egan from kickoff at 7:45 tomorrow night. Elsewhere, Bray Wanderers are at home to Longford Town, Cove play Wexford, UCD are at home to Kerry, and Cork, who, as you say, came down last year, they're at home to Treaty at Turner's Cross. Gavin, of all those teams, who would you say maybe is best equipped heading into the new season?
Look, obviously Cork City, they've re-signed Seanan Maguire, they've still got Keaton, they've still got the nucleus of the squad from last year. They have to be massive favourites. Very similar situation to Dundalk last season. You know, coming in, you would expect it. Obviously Cove had a good season last year. Kerry seemed to be going in the right direction, so they do as well. Obviously they were down low on the lower half, but there's a lot of positive signs. Again, the Longfords, the Athlones, the Harps, they'd be all hoping to push on a wee bit more. Treaty, I don't know much about them. So again, much of a muchness is with the First Division every year, there always seems to be a big changeover of players and staff at clubs. So that is the total unknown. UCD are always consistently there, thereabouts, although a very young side. I know they've lost Ronan Finn this season, so he'll be a big loss. But no, they'll be there, thereabouts, playoff-wise as well. Cove, I would expect. So Bray Wanderers last season, again, you're expecting them to be there, thereabouts. So look, again, I fully expect Cork City to be the stronger side. And after that, it's sort of throw your hat over five or six clubs, you know.
Yes, moving on to the Premier Division, that all got up and running last weekend. Derry City came away with all 3 points at home to Sligo eventually. What did you make of Derry's performance last week?
For the first hour, I suppose they were fairly flat. Obviously, a lot's made of the Brandywell pitch and not suiting Derry, and I would agree with that totally. Like, they've signed really, really well. They've seemed to have a really, really strong off-season, and the expectations are through the roof there at the minute. And for an hour, Sligo probably shaded it, probably the better team, and probably left the Brandywell disappointed not to get a point. But in saying that, Derry finished strong. And sometimes when you win games like that, it gets the crowd going, it helps the situation. You know, a wonder goal from Bannon, and then obviously the late winner from Thomas, who looked really lively. You know, it gives the whole place a lift, and they've obviously another three home games now. If they can get the points racked up early on, I think they're going to take a lot of stopping this season.
Yeah, I suppose we don't really know where Shamrock Rovers are at, as their game was off last weekend. But as you say, it does seem to be the general consensus that Derry are maybe going to be their main rivals for the title. That's something you go along with.
Oh, absolutely. Look, Shamrock Rovers are obviously the biggest club in the country, the strongest squad. The record under Stephen Bradley is phenomenal. You know, but notoriously over the last few years, they've been in the Europa League, they've been in the Conference League, so they've been playing right up over the winter. So their pre-season hasn't been a full pre-season like the other clubs. So usually they're slow starters, Shamrock Rovers, over the last couple of years, but they always come strong. So it's a good chance for Derry with the poor home fixtures to get the points on the board and really, really put it up to them. After that, obviously St. Pat's and Bowes drew last week. You know, Sligo looked decent in the Brandywell, in fairness. Dundalk just promoted, didn't play last weekend. So look, it's a very, very interesting league. It seems to be getting stronger year on year. There's more full-time professionals within it, and just the quality seems to be getting better and better.
Yeah, so Derry at home to Dundalk tomorrow night. Drogheda play Waterford. St Pat's are at home to Galway United. And champion Shamrock Rovers get going with a short trip to face Shelburne. So, Gavin, let's move on to Coghill. It's fair to say you're going well this year. 12 wins from 12. Absolutely flying and in a showing. We're going to hear a bit shortly on the programme about Bunnegee United's launch they had on Monday for that new League of Ireland third tier starting in August, which, of course, your Coghill side will be in as well. I'm sure at Coghill it is full steam ahead for the new league as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes. I suppose there's a lot of information to be released in press days and media stuff to come up. The committee are working hard on that. For ourselves as a team and players, we've discussed that slightly, but not that much. Great opportunity for the players. Great opportunity for the players in any showing to step up and test themselves. And I feel that our players are champing at the bit. But look, we've a lot to concentrate on. We're in still a lot of cups, and we still have the league to finish out. We've a tough game, a tough derby this weekend coming up against the Yellies, which is never easy. They're always well up for the games against ourselves. So we're on the pitch, we're sort of concentrating that as much as we can, with one eye on August, obviously, and players for that. But again, I was at the launch, the Bonagy's launch on Monday night in the Clannery, and it was a fantastic evening and really well done and really professional. And Bonagy are looking like they're well prepared to be making this step and looking forward to it as a club, which is brilliant to see. And I think we all are. I think, I suppose, the greater football public in the North West and in Donegal are sort of thinking, no, this could be interesting and might get behind it and might get the games and stuff like that. So, look, it's exciting. Again, because with it not fully depressed and the launch and stuff like that, not fully set up yet, you know, maybe people are thinking, oh, what's happening? But look, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes for it, and it's all very, very positive.
There you go. That is former Finn Harps captain and current Coghill Celtic manager Gavin Cullen talking all things Finn Harps, Derry City, and interesting to get his thoughts on the upcoming third tier season, which his Coghill side will be taking part in. That is the Coghill perspective. After the break, we're going to be hearing from the Bunnegee side of things. They held a launch night on Monday night, and Chris Ashmore was there for Highland Radio Sport. Back after these. You're very welcome back to The Score. Well, Bunnegee United held a press conference on Monday to mark the official launch of the club's participation in that new National League, which will be, of course, the third tier of Irish football. Minister of State with responsibility for sport, Charlie McConlogue TD, was in attendance together with senior officials from the FAI, as well as management, players and officials from Bunnegee United Football Club. Bunnegee will join fellow Donegal sides Letterkenny Rovers and Coghill Celtic in the new league, as we heard from Gavin Cullen at the Coghill Celtic manager. It is planned to have up to 20 teams involved, 15 of which have already been confirmed, and they will be split into two regionalised divisions, one for the northern half of the country and one for the southern half. There will be a truncated first season running from September until November of this year, with just one series of games and no threat of relegation or prospect of promotion. The first full season will be in 2027, and that will run parallel with the League of Ireland's Premier Division and First Division from February until November next year. From 2027, the top two sides in each division of the National League will meet in a playoff at the end of the season, and the winner will then play the bottom side from the League of Ireland First Division in a promotion relegation playoff. However, to be allowed to play in the First Division, a National League side will also have to have the means to obtain a licence to play at that higher level, which means fulfilling a range of criteria. Well, Highland's Chris Ashmore was at the launch and spoke to a number of people involved. Manager Michael Funston spoke about how players and clubs now have a clear pathway to playing at the highest level they can. Chairman Niall Callaghan outlined the process that has led to them being accepted in the first place. And Fran Gavin, who is the FAI Director of Competitions, explained how the league will work, stressing that this is a long-term project, and the clubs that have signed up and been accepted have done so for at least 3 years.
Michael, a new league. For many years, of course, you were with Finn Harps, so you know all about the League of Ireland. Great to have a third tier.
Yeah, look, as I said many times before, after kind of the collapse of the Ulster Senior League, there was badly needed for something in the North West, and this is a great opportunity for three clubs now in the North West to put their best foot forward, and there's loads of talent out there, and it's a really exciting time. And you know, from experience from playing senior football, it's not for the faint-hearted. So, you know, it's going to be exciting, but there's going to have to be a lot of work put into it from everybody, myself and all the club members. And it's exciting, and it's really brought a new energy. And, you know, everybody that I've met have been chatting about it, so it's really good to see everybody's kind of bought into the idea of it. And, you know, hopefully... you know, and the next coming weeks we'll get momentum for sponsorship and people buying into it, and that's the most important thing, like anything.
Now, we all know that the Northwest is a hotbed for soccer, and when you look in the Irish League, they've got a third tier now as well. So this whole Northwest, your Limavady's, your Durgview's, Strabane, Bonagy, Coghill, Letterkenny, there's going to be a bit of competition for players who have a bit of talent.
Yeah, well, look, from a player's point of view, I suppose, you know, I always I'm only a manager for 5 minutes, so I'm always still get that thing as a player. It's a great opportunity for players to, if you have any ambition, to play at a higher standard. There's no excuse for you anymore, because there's loads of clubs, you know, if it's not up with ourselves, there's loads of clubs in the Northwest. But just looking at something I spoke about before, the Irish League have done it really well, and they've set the kind of the blueprint out, and that seems to have lifted the standard of football, that, you know, no division that you can't get relegated for, so you must always stay competitive. Because I know that myself from my time at Van Harps, you know, you get midway through the season, you realise, you know, the season was a dead rubber. You've seen a lot of things being cut off financially, and that's really hard for the players. Where in the Irish League now, you see that they must keep their what's it going to say, eye on the ball, or they get relegated, and that has a bigger implication for clubs, which obviously drives the standards, and that's what it's all about.
So going into the first season, sort of a truncated season, what are your own thoughts? Is it a case of going in and just sort of seeing how you go, or would you go in like with a 1 or a 3 year plan? Have you got sort of a step by step process you'd like to see the club going?
It's something we're already kind of getting in the crux of chatting about, because we know the format. But you know, from a management point of view and a club point of view, it's very important that we're all going in the one direction. And I think, because obviously the league's contracted for 3 years, you have to go on with that 3 year contract or step in mind. You have to go on. You have to go on cagey. I think that would be the best thing to say, and just feel your way into it. And we really do get a real good opportunity to that, where you only play each other once to whatever much Christmas, and you'll really get a good feel for it, where obviously there's no relegation or promotion, and everybody will get a feel and everybody will see everybody. And it probably, you know, it'll be an eye open to a lot of people how good the standard will be, I think, because there'll be a lot of players that'll be at this level for the first time, so they'll be really, really keen to impress.
And you'll be taking on teams that you've probably never played before, so that adds a little bit of mystery to it all.
Yeah, obviously now, unfortunately, with the VO, nearly even at our level, at junior level here, everybody nearly knows too much about everybody, and everybody knows too much about players. So from that aspect, again, let's be honest, no manager ever likes the unknown, but at the same time, for people coming to watch it, it'll be good to see other players from all over the country playing and pick up people's names and realising who that was. And, you know, that'll be an Irish schoolboys here and there, and so on and so forth. But that'll be good to see players and to see, as I say, a bit of the unknown, you know.
And do you see it as being a league where we'll have maybe some guys, some elder statesmen maybe coming down from a higher League of Ireland level? You need that little bit of experience in your team, and at the same time, it's a great opportunity for youngsters on the way up.
Yeah, well, I think that would be the ideal, you know, for most clubs and ourselves, that you would obviously have your elder statements that have been there before, know all about the travelling. I don't think people, you know, until you've done it, been there and bought the t-shirt, you realise the travelling is it's a real tough one to get used to, because you're on a bus all day, and then you have to get out and get yourself ready to play at 8 o'clock or whatever time on a Saturday, whatever the game may be, and that's a tough thing. But that's where you need your elder statesmen that have been there before and know how to even travel, never mind how to manage games. And look, we'll be no different to anybody. We'll be trying to attract as many older players that are up for the challenge still.
And am I right in saying it's going to be Saturday nights for the home games?
Yes, I think that's what it look. I don't think there's anything 100% nailed down, Chris, but I think that obviously, you know, we're looking at what other teams are doing, and we're obviously, for a crowd, I think Saturday nights is probably going to be the night for the start. So that's what we've kind of we've talked about so far. But as I said, I don't want to say a definite yet, but that looks like what we're going to go for.
So for both players, and spectators, Saturday night football in Letterkenny or indeed in Buncrana or wherever it may be, you know, there's certainly going to be an appeal there, and it's not clashing with too much else.
No, that's why we're going to go for a Saturday night. As I said to you, we're looking at fixtures or possible fixtures elsewhere. So look, at the end of the day, you know, where we are, we know we're very accessible to Letterkenny, and we understand that hopefully we can get a lot of foot traffic that maybe other people won't get. You know, that's why we've gone for a Saturday night, and hopefully, as the man says, we can get a bit of momentum starting out.
And then when you have the first full season, and then we're going to have promotion and relegation, and maybe it could be a motivational factor, but when you're talking to the guys, you're only potentially a few seasons away from European football.
Oh my God, we're still in the junior bubble here, because that seems like a lifestyle way. But like at the end of the day, this pyramid is all about. That every team generally has an opportunity, and you know, and this is something I talk to the club about. You know, what is their aspirations going into this? If it's not to win the Premiership in Ireland, don't go in, because if your bar's not that high, just don't go in. Something to see what it is. You have to have the attitude, as any player ever said. Like, you know, anywhere I've ever been, you always wanted to win the thing. Like, you know, second was only ever the first loser, and let's be honest. So look, the hunger and the enthusiasm for success here is massive. So look, we don't know where that takes us. Should it be whatever promotion, like, let's be honest, to the second division would be phenomenal for a club, for any club, should it be our neighbours or Cork Hill, it would be massive, you know. And like, I'm a football person, I wish everybody the best of luck, because it will take every club a lot of push and a hell of a lot of hard work to do it. So any club that goes and does it, I absolutely generally wish them all the best.
So ultimately, you know, at the end of the day, if you're in the competition, you're in it to win it.
Oh, that's sport, Chris. No matter what you do in life, nobody's ever run a race to come second or third or whatever. We've all gone to one, and as long as you do your best and you put your best foot forward, and when that last game goes and you know, okay, that's the best we've done, you hope it's first. But if it's not, that sport, and you, as man says, you dust yourself down and you go again, and that's why we love it, you know, because you, like in any given day, you never really know.
Niall, it's a massive step for a number of clubs, and I was just thinking, you know, it was back in the mid-80s that we had the establishment of the first division, the second tier. Now we've got a third tier, and great for a club like Bunnagee to be involved.
Yeah, certainly, as Chris, it's we're very excited about it. There's a lot of hard work behind us, and there's certainly a lot of hard work in front of us. And I think a club like our own deserve to be on that stage. We always try to provide football at every level and play at the highest level we can, and certainly with this new National League, we're really hoping we do well in it.
Yeah. Now, it shows great ambition on behalf of the club. It's also going to mean more expenditure. There's going to be quite a lot of travel. So behind the scenes, the sort of the off-the-field side of things is going to be so key.
Yeah, definitely, and we've actually got the ball rolling on that, and we've engaged with a number of outside people not involved with the club, and they've been a great help to us. So, you know, the local community and the town of Letterkenny have got behind us, and I think there is an excitement for this, and it's just a different level to what we're used to.
Yeah. Now, people may think that there's a huge amount of travel, but given that you'll have a Cockhill game, a Letterkenny Rovers game, there may only be 5, 6, 7 sort of away days that involve quite a distance.
Yeah, I think so. We're very fortunate to have Letterkenny and Colin. Like, I'd just like to acknowledge their participation in the league as well. It's good to have them on it, but as you say, there's only probably 6 or 7 away trips in the league, and depending on cup games. So hopefully we could be very lucky that we mightn't have a whole lot of travelling to do. Yeah.
What about the whole application process? Obviously, the league want to make sure that the teams come in have the ability to stay there. So I'm sure there were a lot of boxes to be ticked.
There was a lot of boxes to be ticked, but with a club like ourselves, who's well structured, it wasn't terribly difficult, to be fair. And like, speaking to the FAA lads, Fran Gavin and Garrett Higgins, who's from the competitions department, like, they got applications for 67 teams, and now they've only accepted 15. So they weren't just going to take any club on to make up the numbers. So, and we're, as I say, we're delighted to be one of those 15.
and there's going to be, no doubt, quite a bit of competition for players amongst the clubs in the Northwest.
Yeah, I think so, but I'll leave that up to the managers. I'm not staying. I'm not getting involved in that.
And for the club itself, you know, you're going to be playing teams in the first year that you've never played before. So there's going to be, a novelty aspect as well.
There's going to be a novelty aspect, surely. And, like, you know, that short season is when we're going to find out what sort of standard it is. And I would envisage it's going to be a good standard. Like we've come out of the Ulster Senior League, unfortunately, it folded, and the standard was very good in that. So we expect that this new National League to be slightly better than that.
Yeah, and it probably has come at a good time, because the demise of the Ulster Senior League, we know that there are good junior clubs here in Donegal, and if the Intermediate League was still there, they'd be up against teams in the Intermediate Cup. And, you know, that avenue has been closed. So this is a new departure.
Yeah, definitely. It's no great surprise that the three teams, aside from Van Harps and Derry, that came out of the Ulster Senior League, Cockhull, Letterkenny and ourselves, you know, three of us are back on this National League again. So it just goes to show you that we're striving to be playing at the best level that we can, and hopefully we can develop our clubs, and hopefully it'll be a success.
Frank, this is a huge moment for everybody associated with League of Ireland football. We have a third tier just around the corner. Just explain to us, as things stand now, how many teams are going to be involved? And there's basically a north-south split, two divisions.
Yeah, well, it's been a long journey to get here for everybody. So, and this is it's like a bridge to the League of Ireland, so with the tier three. It's unique to Irish football at the moment, because we've never had that situation. It's been quite fragmented, and the League of Ireland has been a closed shop. So, but it's normal in most of the European leagues and that you'd have a pyramid system. So this is the start of something really, really positive and special from it. At the moment, we have 15. We also have other clubs who have applied recently, and we'll be interviewing them shortly. We have a truncated season, which is sort of a filler season to fill the gap between the end of the what we call the winter season and the start of the official season of this one, which will be February 2027. And the 15 will start for this truncated season, but we should have a few more teams for the 2027 season to be decided, because they have to go through the same process as all these clubs did. And we had nearly 70 applications initially, and not all of those made it. So it was quite rigorous, but the likes of Bonagy, who really very impressed, very impressive, and our assessment panel were very impressed with the presentation they give. And we've been to their facilities, and we know their tradition on and off the pitch. And we're very proud to have a club like Bonagy and all the other two clubs as well, with Letterkenny and Cockhill, to have them as part of the league, because this puts, I suppose, Donegal football again back into the national picture, which we wanted to do.
And it shows just how strong football is in Donegal to have so many teams.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's a huge tradition here. And between the Intermediate Cups and the Junior Cups, with Cockhill winning it there a few years ago, and it's competitive, and there's really good players here. And the league is here to develop players. It's to develop match officials, to develop coaches, and there's some great coaches here as well, and also administrators and clubs. So that's what we'll do over the long term with the clubs, and it's important that the clubs work with us, be competitive on the pitch, have all your battles on the pitch, but work with us as we build this league together, because again, there's going to be challenges. We have teams coming from intermediate football, junior football, colleges and underage national leagues, and that's unique to any league, and that brings its own challenges, which hopefully will be supported by the football overall, Irish football overall at all levels.
That was Highland's Chris Ashmore in conversation with FAI Director of Competitions Fran Gavin at the launch of the third tier by Bonagy United on Monday. We also heard Bonagy Chairman Ned Callaghan and Manager Michael Funston. Now let's have a look at what's happening in the local scene in soccer at the weekend. There's three games down for decision in the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division on Sunday. Bonagy United take on Fannin United at the Dry Arch. Letterkenny Rovers, who lead the division there, away to Donegal Town. It's Cagey Rovers up against Glenleigh United, and Kildrum Town Tigers are at home to Kilmacrenan Celtic. A couple of standout ties in the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1. Second place Capri Rovers are at home to Castlefin Celtic. Chris Ashmore will have updates on that game for us. Bottom of the table, Balbofey United are away to Convoy Arsenal. And top of the pile, Kerrykeel 71 are at home to Rathmullen Celtic. In the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2, it's also second against third as Drumoho welcome Deal Harps. And top of the table, Raphoe Town are away to Dunkaneely Celtic. Also, a few games on Saturday in the Donegal Junior League. In the Glencairn Saturday Division 1, top of the table, Kildrum Tigers are away to Letterkenny Rovers. In the Old Orchard Saturday Division 2, Kopany Rovers host Glenelg United Reserves. And in the Finn Travel Saturday Division 3, second place Capri Rovers are away to Balbofey United. And third place, Milford United host Convoy Arsenal. There are also action in the Inishowen Leagues this weekend. In the Premier Division, Redcastle United welcome third place Aile. And then there's four quarterfinals down for decision in the Donegal Signs Cup. Coghill Celtic are at home to Elise Celtic. Kildaff play QPS. Buncrana Hearts play C Rovers. And it is Clonmany Shamrocks against Cairn FC. Also games in the HML Plant Hire Division 1 and Inishowen Engineering Division 2. Just before we take a break, there's one big game, a Northwest Derby in the Irish League Championship. Institute, who are sitting seventh in the table, they are at home to Limavady United at the Ryan McBride Brandy. Well, that one is on Saturday afternoon. Well, it is time for another short break. When we come back, we'll be taking a look at Donegal's clash with Mayo in the National Football League in Letterkenny on Sunday. Welcome back to the final part of The Score on this Thursday evening, the 12th of February. Well, Donegal will play Mayo in round 3 of the National Football League Division 1 on Sunday at O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. Jim McGuinness's side, akin to last season, have had an impressive start to the league campaign, having seen off Dublin and Kerry in their opening two games. Mayo are also on 4 points after two games thanks to wins over Galway and Dublin. The teams are the only two unbeaten teams left in the division and will both be optimistic of making it 3 wins from 3. Well, Highlands' Oisin Kelly has gone behind enemy lines to get the Mayo perspective on this weekend's battle in Letterkenny. Here's Oisin speaking with Michael D. McAndrew, head of sport at Midwest Radio in Ballyhonus.
Michael, you're welcome along to the airwaves of Highland. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Oisin. Thanks for having me.
Listen, delighted to get you on, but everybody seems to be really excited about this game on Sunday. You boys are coming to Letterkenny.
Yeah, coming to Letterkenny. Looking forward to ourselves. I mean, it's a top of the table clash, Oisin. There are two informed teams, you know, both unbeaten. Jim McGuinness versus Andy Mourne. Should be a cracking game. I mean, Mayo are playing some wonderful football this year under Andy. I know it's early doors when he had two league games, the few FBD and what have you. But even the early indications are that, you know, Mayo are playing with a bit of freedom. They're expressing themselves more, taking on shots. The two pointers was a huge issue last year for Mayo. Already this year, I'd say we've already got more two-pointers than we did throughout the entirety of last year. The return of Robbie Hindley has been a big part of that as well. You know, a top-class goalkeeper with Cullen Reap stepping away this year, we needed something, and bringing back Robbie was a smart move already. It's worked wonders. He's been superb. Ryan O'Donoghue coming out to 11, I think, has also been an interesting part of Mayo's play so far. He's, you know, knits play together well. He's a real workhorse compared to playing him inside. I think he's more suited to out around the 11 role. Midfield so far so good. Bob too, he's been doing well, winning a lot of aerial possession, and you know, for the first time in a long time, we have forwards that are really, you know, stepping up to the plate. Young Dara Byrne has made a huge impact. He's just 19 years of age. He was impressive for the under 20s last year and schools football over the years, so it's great to see him make the transition up. But besides that, the sky's all over the field. When they get into a scoring position, they're not afraid to take on the shot there, and you know, that's the key at the end of the day. It doesn't go by how many possessions that you have or whatever, it goes by the scoreboard. And if you can get more than your opponents, you know, who cares what you concede? If you can beat them on the score in front, you've won the game.
Yeah. Listen, midfield is obviously a key area, and Rob Henley's back, the goalkeeper as well, so the kickouts and into midfield. Midfield's going to be seen as a key part of the field. Obviously, we have the likes of Michael Langan, Jason McGee in and around there, along with Hugh McFadden. And then you could add on Kieran Geller and obviously Michael Murphy to that as well. But you have tried a new look midfield, Bob Toohey and David McBride. You mentioned them there. That seems to be going well at the moment, but this could be a real test, so it could now on Sunday in that part of the park for them.
It could, absolutely. I agree with you 100%, Oisin. And I'm looking forward to seeing that, how they'll respond to a bigger test. They were very impressive against Galway, but Galway were missing a few that day. They were very impressive against Dublin. No, Brian Howard came off injured. So this is going to be a different test. You mentioned guys there that are going to really put it up to some likes of Langan and McFadden and co. You know, it'll be interesting, especially Bob Toohey. Bob Toohey's been kind of there the last couple of years now, just waiting for things to happen. But so far this year, he's been brilliant. Whether that's with the new regime coming in, giving that new lease of confidence. David McBride traditionally would have been full-back, maybe centre-back at times. So he's playing midfield. It's going well so far. Jordan Flynn and Jack Carney kind of slot in from time to time as well. They're kind of playing, you know, 10 and 12. We also have Matty Ruan to come back from injury. He's not quite there yet. So it'll be interesting to see. But I agree. I think midfield is going to be crucial, especially in this modern game as well now. If you win your midfield battles, it'll set you a long way going forward, you know?
Yeah, and obviously there's a Donegal influence in Mayo at the moment. Paul Durkin's down there coaching.
Yeah.
Have you heard much about Paul and the work that he's doing in the background there, Michael?
Yeah, it's kind of kept low key, to be fair. There hasn't been a whole pile of questions asked with regards to Paul, but you know, I've seen him in action in terms of the build up to the matches and some of the regimes before the game start, and you know, he looks to be really impressive. And you know, from what I hear, you know, the guys are really in awe of the work that he's doing. And also Paddy Talley is a big influence as well since he's come in. But yeah, I know it's great to have someone of Paul's experience. I think with the fact Andy been there as well, they would have known each other from their days in college and in Sligo. So that's, you know, it's a huge benefit to have someone of his experience in there as well. And you know, so far it's working wonders.
Yeah. Obviously you get a huge injection when a new manager comes in, and a certain level of a manager. We've seen it when Jim McGuinness came in a couple of years ago, returned again to Donegal. Now we see it with Andy Moore and the backroom team that he's picked, some key men that he is in there. I see Ryan Ferry used the phrase in his column in the Donegal News this week: Mayo fans are back chasing the dream. Whatever Andy Moore can do, and whatever's special about the work that he does and what he brings to this, it's given everybody, including the fans in Mayo, a lift again. Is this lift going to be good enough to the same level as what Jim McGuinness has given Donegal?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Or is it too early to ask that question?
It probably is too early. Look, it's been a great start. I mean, they've done what they've been asked to do so far. You know, they've got two wins from two, you know, two tricky games, to beat your neighbours down in Salt Hill, Galway, to beat Dublin coming to Castlebar. Okay, it's not the Dublin of old, but still, you know, to beat the Dubs, it's something. This will be a different test because in many people's eyes, you know, Kerry are the leaders and they're, in my opinion, a good bit ahead of the pack. Then you have Donegal, very, you know, chasing it in second. I won't say close second, but not far behind Kerry overall in the grand scheme of things. So far this year, Donegal, you know, they've got off to a great start, just like Mayo have had. Donegal probably more seasoned, you know, just looking at their players as well throughout the team. I mean, it's guys that have been there now. Daryl Buil is a big loss. I believe he's out this weekend. You know, and he will be a big loss for a couple of games. But with regards to Mayo, it probably is a little bit too early. As you said, yes, the bandwagon is coming back again. I think it's Mayo of old. You know, it's that style of football that we became to love over the years of 16, 17, 18, 19 when Mayo were playing with flair, with a bit of chaos, taking it to teams, you know, running from deep, expressing themselves. That's back because it was kind of gone there for a couple of years, to be honest. You know, we're playing a type of game there the last couple of years, it just didn't suit Mayo. It didn't suit the style of Mayo. Holding on to possession, going lateral, going back, working it defensive. That just isn't in the Mayo DNA, and it just didn't work. So it's back now to the Mayo of old. We have guys that are expressing themselves. We have young players coming through. You know, there's a lot to be more positive about, but we're still not getting carried away with ourselves. It's only the middle of February, Valentine's weekend. It's no love story yet, Oisin.
So there's definitely not going to be any love story on Sunday afternoon in the O'Donnell Park anyway. That's for sure between these two teams. But when you add that in, the way Mayo's now playing the style of football, the way Donegal plays their football, and of course the rules that they've been working through over the last couple of seasons, is all going to add to what we hope is going to be a spectacle. You mentioned Daryl Buil not available due to that wrist injury. It seems he's going to be out for several weeks for Donegal. But we have had Michael Murphy returning. We've had Oisin Gallen returning as well. Donegal aren't too far away from being at full strength as we head towards the championship after the league. What's Mayo's situation team-wise, do you feel? Is there still a few bodies to come in, or are you as far away at this stage with looking at a team that's close to would start a championship match, Michael?
Yeah, I'd say there's about three or four to come back into that starting 15. We've had a good feeling come back. Like, we had Paddy Durkin back now. He started the last day, came out of the sub against Galway. Jamie O'Connor came on as a sub the last day. As you know, Killian O'Connor returned to the panel after stepping away last season. So he's back in. The question was put down, do we see him? We will at some stage, but you know, how much of an impact he will have overall remains to be seen. The big one to come back really will be Matthew Ruan around the middle, but again, you know, he'll have to work to get his place there with the form at the moment of McBrien and Bob Toohey, and also you have Jordan Flynn. The big name as well is Kobe McDonald, and there's no getting away from that, of course, the son of Kieran, and that's been asked a few times to Andy. He's actually playing in a school's final this weekend for Gartner Abbey across the line. They're playing in a Connacht C College's final against Ball. So he made that point that he was going to let him focus on that, and I'm sure, because they're quite keen in Australia for him to get some game time as well, so I'm sure we'll see him definitely not this Sunday, but maybe you know, before the end of the season, the end of the league season rather, before we start off for championship in April. But regards, yeah, I suppose looking at it, when you think about it, we probably have 11 to 12 of your starting 15. There is a few to come back in. Duncan McHugh may well slot back into that full back line as well. So we're in a good position with regards to years past in terms of long term injuries. I suppose the injury at the moment is Matty Ruan. I'm told he's not too far away either. So yeah, I think what you'll see on Sunday between Mayo and Donegal, with both of them, it'll be quite close to their championship team, and hopefully it'll be played at championship pace.
Yeah. What do you fear of Donegal? You're going into this game, and if you're going to go back down the road, Michael, suffering a defeat, what is it, do you feel, that's going to win this game? What do Mayo have to be concerned about from a Donegal point of view?
It's around the middle, for sure. You know, with McFadden, Langan, you know, there's a lot of strength there, a lot of power, a lot of guys that can cause, you know, cause pain up front as well. So we just need to win the aerial battle. But I think from Mayo perspective, and definitely knowing Andy and his style, he won't be too concerned. You know, he'll just be happy for his side to keep playing the way they've been playing, express themselves. I think Mayo need to kind of focus on, okay, how can we cause Donegal problems? I think Ryan O'Donoghue is one in particular Donegal need to be concerned about in his new deeper role as playing 11. I mean, he's a live wire. He'd be a nightmare to try and keep tabs on him. He's here, there and everywhere. Goes from deep, goes up front. Some of his passing inside has been really impressive. I think, you know, Mayo need a big game again from Aidan O'Shea. Aidan O'Shea needs to really ask questions of the Donegal full back line, you know, and then the guys to feed off on, the likes of Tommy Conroy, the likes of Dara Byrne, you know, these guys need to come on and make an impression. I think young Keane McHale, who's been good so far coming off the bench, we probably won't see him. He was in action, of course, on Wednesday night for UL in that Sigerson Cup final, and we had Sean Moorhan as well playing that night, and he's another guy that probably won't see action, although it's hard to know. Andy may give them a go as well. But yeah, I think it's from a Mayo perspective, they need to really ask the questions of Donegal. You know, go at them early, send in the ball into that forward line. They have been impressive throughout. But again, it's crucial if you're not winning your aerial battle around the middle, and if there's questions asked early doors and Donegal are starting to get a foothold early on, well, then it could be a tricky afternoon. But it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see, but I'm expecting a big game again from the likes of Bob Toohey and McBrien. You know, they are confidence players, and at the moment their confidence is up.
Okay, we wait to see how that midfield battle is going to pan out on Sunday. There will of course be live match commentary from the game here on Highland Radio, and indeed for a Mayo perspective, you can nip over to Midwest Radio as well, who will be having extensive coverage from the tie. Listen, both counties have over 3,000 season ticket holders, I believe, Michael. So are Mayo going to travel in their numbers at the weekend?
They are, yeah, they are for sure. There's a big, big hunger for this one. I had people on to me last week wondering about tickets because they couldn't see them online. I just explained with regards to the how it works with the season tickets. Yeah, there's a lot of people making the trip up, and there's just such huge hunger because we announced actually today that we have a pair of tickets to give away on our sports bulletin a little later, and the interest even just announcing that we're going to be giving the tickets away, it's quite hard to believe, really. Middle of February, a league game, but just what, over 8,000 that it can hold in Letterkenny, which I think is great. I think it'll add to it. I think it'd be fantastic to see a full house. I expect definitely to see at least over 3,000 Mayo supporters there in their numbers. And as you know, Sheen, like Mayo and Donegal, there's such a connection there. Like, we've so much in common. There's so much marriages of Donegal and Mayo, so many relations, and even the connections there. Of course, I mentioned Michael Murphy, of course, with his strong Mayo links, and with Paul Durkin now in the back room of Mayo as well. So yeah, it's great. There's always a connection, and I know so many Mayo guards based up in Donegal, and vice versa than Donegal guards based down here. So it's great. There's always that connection with Mayo and Donegal.
Listen, there's a great rivalry, so it is, and it's brilliant. Yeah. We're all looking forward to, hopefully we'll get a cracker of a game this weekend. Michael D. McAndrew, many thanks for joining us on Highland Radio, and I'll see you in the commentary spot on Sunday.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Take care.
That is our own head of sport, Oisín Kelly, in conversation with head of sport at Midwest Radio, Michael D. McAndrew, looking ahead to that game at the weekend. And we will have full live match coverage of the game from around about 1:30 on Sunday. Parking at O'Donnell Park will be limited to those attending with relevant passes. That's coming from an advisory note from Angarda Síochána. The area around the park is mainly residential with no parking available. There is limited disabled parking available in the vicinity of the grounds, so people attending the game from the town side of the grounds are encouraged to arrive early and to avail of parking within the town, town car parks, etc., and to walk to the grounds or to avail of the free shuttle bus, which will be available from Kernan's Spire before the game. It's been advised, do not walk on the footpaths at Ballymacool Estate, on footpaths along the main road, or park in any manner that might block access for emergency services, pedestrians or wheelchair users. Gardaí will be patrolling the area, and supporters are asked to follow directions given by the Gardaí and stewards in the area. Elsewhere on Sunday in the Alliance Football League, Division 2, Tyrone are in action. They've drawn with Kildare and lost to Derry in their opening two games. They are at home to Cavan at Healy Park in Omagh on Sunday. And on Saturday, there are two games in the Alliance Football League, Division 1. Kerry play Galway, and Dublin, who have lost 2 out of 2, they are at home to Monaghan at Croke Park. Monaghan are also winless, and they've been beaten twice in their first two games. On Saturday in Division 2, Derry, who have lost to Meath and beaten Tyrone, they play Kildare in Newbridge. And one game of note, Down, who Donegal will play in the first round of Ulster in a couple of months. They are sitting with 2 wins from 2 at the top of Division 3, as are Westmeath, who are of course managed by Kilkerry native and 2012 All-Ireland winner Mark McHugh. So that'll be an interesting battle in Newry on Saturday evening at 6 o'clock. Now, just to look at what's happening in the rugby this weekend, there's the Gordon West Cup semi-finals. Strabane are taking on Coleraine. Alec McDonough will be at that one for us on Saturday afternoon. In the other semi-final, it'll be Donaghadee up against Virginia. And there's one game in Ulster Championship 1 this weekend with a North West point of view. It is Omagh away to CIYMS. And finally, for tonight, athletics this weekend, the National Intermediate and Masters Cross Country Championships take place at Abbottstown. That is on Sunday, and we'll be crossing over live to our athletics correspondent, Patsy McGonigal, who will be giving us the latest on how that competition is going. That is just about it from me tonight. Jimmy Stafford will be with you just after the 8 o'clock news. If you missed any of the last hour and want to catch up on any of the interviews you heard, you'll be able to find the full episode on the playback section of our website over at highlandradio.com. The Score will be back next Thursday from 7 o'clock. From me, Mark Gallagher, have a great evening, enjoy the sport of the weekend, and I'll be talking to you all again very soon. Take care.